you're so holy, God. Amen. May I ask you to stand with me tonight if you would? Amen. And turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Amen. In a service like this, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know what I'm doing up here right now. I think we've laughed enough. We've cried enough. We've got our praise on a little bit. It felt like church in here tonight, didn't it? Amen. Amen. I love the feeling of coming into the house of God, knowing what God's capable of. Amen. And feeling it. Amen. A lot of people know who He is, but have never felt Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful for that tonight. Amen. As you're turning there, I'm going to share with you a little story that hopefully some of you can relate to, and hopefully you won't laugh at too much. But does anybody just need to have a little pity party for themselves? Anybody ever feel that way? What do they say? Get on your soapbox? Is that what they say? There's a conversation me and my wife had, I guess it was last night or the night before, and it started out with a thought, an observation that I had had, and it led me to get a little aggravated. Something I'd seen, and I was like, how, what, why, who, where? Ask all the questions you want. And it led me into another one, and I began to think about, you know, something that's going on in my life and my work situation. And again, I went from who, why, where, how, and came up with just because. Anybody ever have one of those moments where you don't really know, but you just feel like you just have to just vent a little bit? But through that, I came to realize just how negative my thought process was. Now, before you laugh too much, understand that the human thought process, the human thoughts that we come up with, 80% of every thought you think in a day is negative. And of that 80%, 90% of those negative thoughts are reoccurring. Meaning that every day, 80% of your thoughts and 90% of those are about the same thing you were worried about yesterday. Keep that in mind, would you? Everyone say, woe is me. Tonight I want to speak to you along those lines, although at church we're not going to have a pity party. So, I've changed it to, who is me? Who is me? Jonah chapter 1 says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness had come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, knowing that our thoughts are predominantly negative and repeated daily, I'd say that we like to dwell on things. Is that a fair assumption? We like to dwell on the things that bother us or affect us negatively. How many of those thoughts are self-inflicted? That's something I want you to think about to yourself tonight. Of those negative thoughts that we think of, we'll say, you know, doing the math, roughly 70% of every thought you think is a reoccurring negative thought that enters your mind. How many of those are caused by you? How many of those thoughts do you deal with daily just because of something you've done, you've said, or you've felt? Not only that, but how much time in a day do we spend dwelling on those thoughts that we think over and over and over again? How many church services has God moved in and we've missed because we're too busy dwelling on something and worrying about something that happened a long, long time ago? That is what I want to think about tonight. How much does our thoughts of past sins and failures separate us from God? I mean, I feel that's a question that every person should be able to ask themselves. What is your thought? Everybody's got one. Everyone's got something that haunts them in life. What is that thought? Now ask yourself, is it worth giving God up for? Is it worth allowing God to pass you by for? Amen. Starting in Jonah chapter 1, we started by seeing God tell Jonah to go to Nineveh and cry out against the wicked, is what the Bible reads. And instead of doing what God has asked of Jonah, he fled. He ran away. Now, you could say, well, he was afraid. Or you can just say he didn't want to. But does it really matter? Jonah fled from the word of the Lord. And the only thing that comes to my head in a situation like that is, uh-oh. Anytime when you start running from the word of God or when you start running from God speaking to you personally, I mean, nothing good is going to come of that. But Jonah fled from God, and we think about how horrible that must be, to be in a state of mind where you have to feel like you have to run from God. Or you want to run from God, which is even worse. You want to run away from God, and how horrible that must be, and how what kind of state was Jonah in to feel as if he couldn't deal with what God had placed on his heart and what God has told him to do. Does everyone understand tonight that when you go against God, bad things happen? Everybody understand that? Jonah, swallowed by a fish. We'll get there in a minute. Egypt, plagues, after plagues, after plagues. Deaths of sons. All these things because they refused to let God's people go. Because they chose to follow the beat of their own drum instead of listening to God. Goliath defied God, and we saw what happened to him. Everyone on earth except for Noah and his family was wiped away. All because they decided that they were not going to listen to what God had to say and what God was doing. Time has shown us what God can do when you go against him, and bad things happen to those that do. But let me ask you this tonight. When your child disobeys you or rebels against you, what do you do? Now, you don't have to tell me specifically what you do. In fact, I'd rather not know. But what do? We discipline them, right? In some way or another, we make sure that our child gets the correction, the guidance they need to grow up to be a productive member of society, correct? We don't just allow our children to do anything and everything they want. But to answer the title question tonight of who is me, which is as ungrammatically correct as you'll ever hear me speak, who is me? The question is, you're a child of God. That's who you are. I mean, that's what you are. So do you think everything is going to be just hunky-dory, everything's going to be peachy and a walk in the park when you're a child of God? You're sitting in God's house. You know you're a child of God. You're called by God. God speaks to you directly, and you choose not to listen to him? Now we think, well, duh, of course I'm not going to do that. But we do it. We come into this house on a regular basis, and we sit here, and we listen to the voice of Pastor or Brother Bryce or whoever it is up here speaking, and they're telling us something, and it's directed directly at our hearts. It's directed directly at what we're dealing with, and because of that, instead of grasping it and grabbing hold of it, we push it away. And we miss the blessing that God has for us because we choose that our way of thinking is more important than that of his. How often do we do this to ourselves? We do or don't do something opposing God, and then we almost punish God for what we're feeling. Now, let me explain that to you. You say, well, how am I punishing God? When you come into this place, a house of worship, a house of praise, God's house, when you come into this place and you fold your arms spiritually and you say, I'm not going to move on this specific topic, I'm not going to worship God because I don't feel like I can because of this issue, this negativity that's wrapped up in my mind. Whenever you come into the will of the Lord, the place of God, and you say, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to do it, we have a problem. We find ourselves later regretting what we have done, and it can plague us with repeated, negative, regretful thoughts that hinder us from a proper relationship with God. Jonah has disobeyed God, and he will pay for it. We'll read that here in just a moment. And even after all the events that we're going to read, Jonah still, we won't say defies God, but Jonah still questions God. After everything that's happened, you'll see that Jonah still is like, God, why are you doing this? Why is this going on? And this is something that he will have to live with. So in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then they said to him, What shall we do that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, Pick up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen. We see the what we'll call for the time being a punishment Jonah has received for his actions. Amen. Jonah decided that his way was better than that of God's. He decided he was going to go somewhere else when God had called him to Nineveh. And so we see that he's tossed in the sea and he is swallowed by this fish. But can I tell you tonight that just as Jonah was tossed overboard and swallowed by this great fish, you too will have a day of reckoning. There will be a day when you disobey God and you will have to answer for it. Understand tonight that I'm not suggesting that God is going to smite you because you sin. I'm not suggesting that the next time you're on a boat in a lake, some fish is going to swallow you because you're not living exactly like you're supposed to live. But what I am telling you tonight that everyone will have that day where they realize just how powerful God is and not in a good way. And that's not being doomsday. That's not being harsh. That's not being mean. I said that out of love because sin is a real thing, isn't it? Sin is something we all face, we all have to deal with, and if we are not prepared, if we do not grab a hold of God and choose Him over that sin, there will be a day where it may be too late. Understand tonight that God's mercy is for everyone and is enough for everyone. But that does not give us a free ride, a ticket, or any other way to sin just because we know that God will forgive us, that His mercy is enough for us. That's not what that means. Romans 6, 14, 15 says, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not, is what it says. Certainly not. We also say that the wages of sin are death. Eventually, sin leads to death. Amen. We say we want everlasting life. We want to make it past those pearly gates, and we want to live in a place of gold and treasure and all these things with God. It's an everlasting life is what we say all the time, but sin will lead to death. Amen. You want that everlasting life. It's not going to come from sin, I promise you. Amen. I want you to think about something right now. I want you to think about all the sins you can think of. And how many of those sins past this world will still be relevant? If let's just say that one of those bombs we're talking about goes off and none of us are hurt, but everything we own is completely destroyed. How much of that sin is still going to be relevant to you? Those things you listen to, those things you watch, those things you read, are they still going to matter to you anymore? Amen. Can I tell you that when it all comes down to it, God is what stands. The Word of God is what stands. Amen. Sin can't compare to the promise that Jesus has for you and your family. Amen. Let me ask you this. Why did it take Jonah so long? Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, I even hit railroad tracks too fast, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. That's like the magic word for everything is, oh, Jesus. But Jonah, took him 3 days. 3 days and three nights to call upon the name of the Lord. I tell you what, that's as bad as it sounds, that's talent. I couldn't wait that long. Amen. Jonah knows where he's supposed to be. Jonah knows what's supposed to be happening. He's swallowed by a fish and survives and still does not call upon the name of the Lord. That is something. But when you think about it, why didn't he call upon the name of the Lord? And let's just go there. Let's try to figure it out real fast. How about pride, first of all? Jonah had been caught wrong. Jonah had been shown wrong. And he was too proud to say anything about it. The next one I would say is regret. Jonah knows what he's done. He knows he was wrong. And now he just can't bring himself to say anything about it. He regrets it so much. And that brings us to the next one, shame. He's ashamed of what he's done, as I would be and as you would be. And the last one I can think of is he's angry. Because he got caught. Because he is shamed. Because he does have regret. Sounds a lot like the people I see on a daily basis, doesn't it? Ooh. It sounds like, oh, well, yeah, Jonah, you should be. How could you? How dare you? But when you evaluate your life, does your pride separate you from the will of God? Are you too proud to dance on a Sunday night? Are we too proud to get out in the aisle and lift our hands and make a little victory march? Do we have so much regret about one thing we've done in our past or some situation that plagues us that we can't give God his due? Are we so ashamed of ourselves for any one thing or any multiple things that we think in our minds negatively that God is not good enough, God is not big enough to take care of them? Do you think those things? Are you angry at God? I know some people who are angry at God. I know a lot of people who are angry at God. It sounds like a lot of us in some way or another. It's sad, but it's true. You see, we like to poke at Jonah and say, wow, you really messed that one up, didn't you? You really went there. You really got yourself in trouble. But how many times have you caught yourself, like me, thinking negatively, well, that's just undoable. I can't believe I've done that. I did that 15 years ago and I'm still holding on to it. I did that 50 years ago and I'm still holding on to it. How many times do we find ourselves sitting on a pew on a Sunday night thinking right now, because I brought it up, about the things you've done in your life that you don't want to change because then it gives you nothing to hold on to? Can I tell you tonight that Jesus is here? That same Jesus that was there is here. The same God that took Jonah out of the belly of a fish, he's here. And he's here for you to hold on to. So don't you think for one moment that you can sit here and hold on to sin. Hold on to the things that the devil has put in your life instead of grabbing a hold of Jesus Christ. This is his house. This is his way. Amen. If you think you could come against the plan of the Lord, you've got another thing coming tonight. What if Jonah wouldn't have cried out to God? What if Jonah just straight up said, you know what? I know I'm wrong. I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to die in the belly of this fish. Or would God have saved him anyway? Do you think he would have? Would he die for disobeying God? And the answer is no one can answer that except for God. But what I can tell you tonight is this. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And he didn't do it. God had a plan for Nineveh, and Jonah got in the way. It's that simple. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh for a reason. It wasn't just a field trip. God had a reason for sending him there, and Jonah refused to do it. Can I tell you tonight that God has a plan for Sparta, and God has a plan for Landmark, and if you stand in the way of that, if you try to hinder that in any way, you will be removed. And that is not a threat. That's not saying anyone here is going to do anything to you. Again, I'm not telling you God's going to smite you, but I'm here to tell you God's going to have his church with or without you. It's human for you to have negative thoughts. It's human. We do it on a daily basis. We just read the numbers. I presented them to you. It's normal for that to happen. It's normal for you to feel as if you aren't good enough for God. And to be honest, you're right. None of us are. But that's what makes him God, is he chose us anyway, knowing who and what we are. But God died so you wouldn't have to carry your sin. God died so that you wouldn't have the feeling that many of you have on a daily basis. That was his plan, and don't you dare try to separate him from that. Don't try to play God on your own. Don't try to carry that load on your own. God did it for you. Allow him to do it. Refrain from sin. When you sin, as we all do, repent and move on in Jesus' name. Do not dwell on it and allow yourself to come distant and from God because of your shame, pride, or insecurities. Don't continue with your woe is me, self-oppressing spirit, and understand that you are a child of God. Above all else, you are a child of God. And there's nothing that he can't and won't do for you if you give your life to him. Amen. Moving on in Jonah chapter 2, if you read on, you'll see that after 3 days, Jonah cries out to God. And after prayer, the fish finally lets Jonah out. Jonah went against God. Jonah was giving a direct order from God. And chose not to do it. He, even after that, it took him 3 days. 3 days and three nights to call upon the name of Jesus, upon the name of the Lord for his safety or for his salvation or whatever you want to say. It took him 3 days. And if you keep reading, you'll find that even after that, though the joy was short, when he gets to Nineveh, he's still smug about it. He's still upset about God for sending him there. Now, here's what's crazy. Think about this one. God tells you to do something. You do it. You don't do it. And God makes you do it. Then you get there and find out that God was going to do something whether you were there or not. It had nothing to do with you. You see, if you read on in Jonah, you'll find that Nineveh, when Jonah got there, they saw the evil that they had been doing. The Bible says that they were sorry. They were repentant for it. And Jonah's response was, God, I thought you sent me here to cry against this city because you were going to tear it down. It's what the Bible says. You see, even after God shows Jonah the power that he has and the love that he has by saving that city, Jonah still questions God. Can I tell you tonight that if you're still questioning God, after sitting in this place, then we need to have a little come to Jesus. Just being frank with you. If you could sit in this place feeling what we felt tonight, and you don't understand that God is here for you, and that God has all the power, and that God is going to do what God's going to do whether you're here or not, then we need to have a little talk. Because you're not God. You're not here to decide what gets to happen and what doesn't. God will do that for you. But I want you to look at something. Even after all of this, even after everything that has happened, God still saved Nineveh. And with the exception of the fish, in this story, Jonah was not punished. In fact, the Bible says that Jonah went and sat on the edge of the city and God provided a plant for him to sit under. God loves you tonight. In all your imperfections, don't you question that God loves you tonight. God has a way. God will provide for you in every situation. Amen. Don't fall prey to the thought, the negative thought that somehow you're not good enough or that God can never love you or provide for you. Because that's a lie straight from hell. God's mercy is enough for you just like it was for Jonah. We say these verses all the time, but John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Matthew 9:13 says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." God's not expecting you to be perfect. God's not calling perfect people. God's calling sinners to repentance. Amen. Don't think that somehow you're either too good or too low to come to Jesus for repentance. There's nothing you can do to change that. Amen. Romans 3:23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." When Jesus Christ died on that cross and rose again, he defeated sin. He defeated it. When he rose again, sin was conquered. It had no power any longer other than what power you give it. But when you call on his name now, even after all that, when you call on his name, not only did he already beat it, but he removes it. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. It's like having a weight on your back that you just can't unload. It's like walking uphill. You were a Marine, weren't you? I'm sure you've had all kinds of training with heavy weight, uphill, downhill, side hill, every kind of hill. Imagine having that kind of burden on you and having God just remove it. I mean, I'm here to tell you tonight that there's nothing too big for God. No matter what you're going through tonight, I want you to leave it right here. Right here, when you leave here tonight, don't you go home the same way you came in. But you leave it right here at this altar, and you go home feeling renewed and refreshed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God has something for you no one else can replace. Don't hold on to negative thoughts and sin you have in your life, but release them and give them to God today and see what he will do for you tomorrow. Amen. After the whole journey, God still spared Nineveh. After all this happened, this whole story of Jonah, and when you think about it, it was really pretty insignificant when you think about it. It was one man. We're not talking about thousands of people here, and, you know, God went to war for thousands or millions of people, and God did this amazing feat, although it is, don't misunderstand me. But we're talking about one man over the course of 4 days, probably 7 days by the time he travels to Nineveh afterwards and everything. This was not some world-altering event. But the fact that Jesus had a plan for Nineveh, Jesus had a way for Nineveh to be saved, with or without Jonah, that's what's beautiful here. That's the story I want to show you tonight, is that God can still use you. We talk about Jonah, and we've beat him up tonight. We've talked about all the mistakes he's made, and how could he do this, how could he do that, and it was so wrong of him, and this and that, but God still used him. Even when he got to Nineveh, and he was murmuring against God, God still used him. God can still use you tonight. I don't want you to think because of the past you've had, because of the sins you've had, because of the situation you're in now, that God is somehow done with you. That God's mercy isn't enough for you. God still has a plan for your life. God can still use you for something great and something beautiful. Don't you ever let go of that. Amen. When God gives you a promise, you latch on to it. You hold on to it, and you give God the glory for it. God can still leave you, or can still use you, I'm sorry. Amen. What's our mission as a church? Our mission is to save the lost, correct? Is that why we're here? We are here to be an outreach, to be the body of Christ, to show this city, this town, this community what God is, who God is, what he can do. Amen. Show them that he is the light. He is the salvation for the world. God can still use you in that kingdom. Our mission is to reach the lost, and just because you've had sin in your life at one point, when you come up out of that water over there, or when you call in the name of Jesus for repentance, God removes it. He doesn't forget it, he removes it. Amen. If our music would come tonight. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawlessness, every lawless deed, and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Amen. To answer the question that is our title tonight, who is me? The answer is child of God is who you are. Redeemed child of God is who you are. Powerful child of God is who you are tonight. Amen. You don't have to walk out of here defeated. You don't have to walk out of here holding on to whatever it is that's been plaguing you your entire life. God's mercy is enough for you. As a church, we are the body of Christ. We are apostolic Pentecostal. We believe in a Holy Ghost experience. We believe in the infilling of Jesus Christ into our hearts by the evidence of speaking in tongues. A rebirth in Jesus' name coming up out of that water and through repentance. And we live a lifestyle that should model the Word of God and strive to live as a disciple for Jesus Christ. That is who we are tonight. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you forget who you are and who your God is and just how big he is. Amen. If you would stand with me tonight. You know, I know this is probably your stereotypical, you know, church sermon. We're talking about Jonah and the whale here. And this may be nothing special. And this might only be for one person in this entire room tonight. And if so, that's perfectly fine with me. I'm sorry that I, you know, wasted your time and everything. But if it's just one person, I'm satisfied. But I feel that God has sent me to tell you tonight that his relationship is first. The relationship you have with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life. There's nothing that trumps it. We have to get over the pride, the shame, the hurt. Whatever it is that we're holding on to, whatever sin it is that we feel like God is incapable of saving us from, you need to give that to God tonight. And usually, I'm not a specific response kind of person. I feel that God's going to move in you in whichever way he deems acceptable. But I'm going to ask you to come tonight. I'm going to ask you to come and fill these altars tonight. I'm going to ask you to, whether it's staying with your head back and hands lifted or crying on your face, I don't really care. But I want you to come tonight as a measure of your faith and your willingness to give God whatever it is that is haunting you. Amen. As you come, I'm going to begin to pray over you and over this church, and I want you to help me pray as you come. And then we're going to spend a little time in worship and thank God for whatever it is he's doing and what he's done. Amen. Can we do that tonight? Jesus, in your name, Lord, I thank you for your presence.